Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is John Wadsworth, and I'd like to talk to you some more from the Genesis record, Man and the Animals. It's from the Genesis record, a scientific and devotional commentary on the Book of Beginnings by Dr. Henry Morris. We'll be discussing Genesis 2, 18 through 20. The Genesis Institute of Creation Research, for over 50 years, the Institute of Creation Research has equipped believers with evidence of the Bible's accuracy and authority through scientific research, educational programs, and media presentations, all conducted with a thoroughly biblical framework. For more information, visit ICR's website at icr.org. Begin, and we'll talk about, or I'll read from Mr. Morris's book, Man and the Animals. If there were any remaining questions as to whether the Bible teaches that man is simply an animal, related by common ancestry and evolutionary continuity to all the other animals, the rest of this second chapter of Genesis will lay such an idea to rest. The first man and woman were unique and special creations of God, not to be compared with any animals at all, but rather to be contrasted with them. The widespread belief that people evolved from ape-like ancestors is not only refuted by Scripture, but also by all the facts of science. The missing links of Darwin's day are still missing today. There have been many fossils of true human beings excavated by anthropologists and paleontologists, and many fossils of true apes. Today, however, neither any living animals nor any fossil remains have ever been found which are intermediate between men and apes, nor between men and their imaginary ape-like forebears. The best candidates in recent years have been the so-called Australopithecus fossils. However, recent fossil evidence has indicated, according to anthropologist Richard Leakey, that the Australopithecus was a long-armed, short-legged knuckle walker. He thus was most likely merely an extinct ape with an ape-sized brain about 500 cc, but with teeth that had a smaller size and somewhat human-like appearance because of his peculiar diet. Furthermore, more recent finds by Dr. Leakey, as well as by Johansson and others, have proved that true humans with a truly human skull, erect posture, etc., existed at least as long as the Australopithecus Homo erectus and all others that had previously been considered candidates for the transition between apes or ape-like creatures and people. So far as the actual fossil evidence shows, man has always been man, and the ape has always been an ape, exactly as the Bible teaches. Genesis 2:18, and the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." At the end of the 6 days of creation, God saw that everything he had made was very good. Genesis 1:31. The last act of creation, however, was that of woman. Hence, prior to the final work, the creation was yet incomplete. Man, especially, was incomplete without a woman, and this was not good. This does not mean it was evil, but only that it was unfinished and therefore imperfect. God himself therefore said, it is not good that man should be alone. All the animals that had been made from both male and female, Genesis 6:19, and had been instructed to bring forth after their kinds and to multiply on the earth, Genesis 1:22-24. Man alone, of all of God's creatures, had no such companion. Therefore God set about to make an helpmeet for man, literally a helper like man. As he had personally formed man's body, so he would set about personally to form woman's body. Furthermore, he would do this by a remarkable method rich in symbolic meaning, which neither the man nor the woman would ever forget. Genesis 2:19-20. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, to all the fowl of the air, every beast in the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. First, however, God arranged for Adam to become familiar with the many of the animals he, by personal inspection. This was apparently for the twofold purpose of acquainting him with his responsibilities relative to the animal kingdom, Genesis 1:28, and also of emphasizing to him that, though he couldn't exercise rulership over them, he could not have fellowship with them. Let me read that again. And also of emphasizing to him that, though he could exercise rulership over them, he could not have fellowship with them. There was not one among them qualified to be a helper suitable for his own needs. He was yet incomplete without such a helper. But this would require another act of creation on God's part. Many people quibbled at verse 19, professing to find a contradiction between this account of the formation of the animals and the account in the first chapter of Genesis. According to the latter, that the birds were made on the fifth day and the land animals on the sixth day, all prior to Adam's creation. The second chapter, however, seems to say in this verse that these animals were only created at this time, after Adam's creation. Such an interpretation, however, is alien to the context. It would in effect charge God with first trying to find a helper for Adam by making a lot of animals, and then, when this failed, finally deciding to make woman. God had just expressed his purpose to make a helpmeet for man, and it is absurd to think he would set about to carry out this purpose by first making animals. Actually, all these animals were already in existence, exactly as the first chapter of Genesis says. All this had already been recorded in chapter 1, so there was no need to go through the entire chronological record again in chapter 2. There was no need even to mention the animals, since the account was concentrating on giving details of the later part of the sixth day, until the point at which the animals were actually to encounter man. Point is reached in the narrative. Verse 19 merely calls attention to the fact that God was the one who formed the animals and that their bodies had been formed out of the ground, even as Adam's body had been formed from the dust of the ground. However, though, the physical elements were the same in the bodies of both man and beast, there were still no real fellowship possible between them, as Adam would soon learn when he examined them. He had been created in the image of God and would require a being of like nature to himself. As a matter of fact, it would be quite legitimate to translate verse 19 as follows. Also, out of the ground the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and had brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. The Hebrew conjunction, W-A-W-A, can just as well be translated also as and. Furthermore, the word formed, as in the King James, the Hebrew is yatsah, can, in the context, legitimately be translated had formed. In any case, the obvious intent of the passage is to tell us that certain of the animals already in existence were now brought at this time to be inspected by Adam. There is no contradiction, either real or apparent, with the official order of creation in Genesis chapter 1. It was only those animals in closest proximity and most likely as theoretical candidates for companionship to man that were actually brought to him. These included the birds of the air, the cattle, verse 20, probably the domesticable animals, and the beasts of the field, which were evidently the smaller wild animals that would live near human habitations. Those not included were the fish of the sea, the creeping things, and the beast of the earth, Genesis 1:24, which presumably were those wild animals living at considerable distance from man and his cultivated fields. It is not likely that all these animals actually lived in the Garden of Eden, though they may have had access to it. Therefore, God must have directed them to come to Adam in some unknown fashion so that both master and animal might learn to know each other. We have no way of knowing exactly how many kinds of animals appeared before Adam, but it was clearly not such a large number as to be incapable of examination within a few hours at most. It is not unreasonable to suggest that Adam could note and name about 10 kinds each minute, so that in, say, 5 hours, about 3,000 kinds could be identified. Clearly, this number seems more than adequate to meet the needs of the case. As the animals passed in review, Adam gave each a quick appraisal and appropriate name. What language he used and on what basis he selected names for them, there seems no way of knowing. The fact that he named them, however, indicates, as we would expect, in view of his recent creation in human perfection by the omniscient God, that he was a man of high intelligence and quick discernment. There seems to have been no need for second thoughts and later changes in those names. Whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. As one after another of the animals passed before him, no doubt in pairs, male and female, Adam could not help but be impressed with his own uniqueness, not only in intelligence and spirituality, but also in aloneness. Each animal had its mate, but for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. There was clearly no kinship in any manner between man and the animals. None was like him. None could provide fellowship or companionship for him. It is abundantly clear and certain that he had not recently evolved from them. If the latter were true, and his body were still essentially an ape's body, or the body of whatever hominid form still essentially an ape's body, or the body of whatever hominid form may have been his immediate progenitor. It seems strange that he could have found nothing in common with either parents or siblings. On this point, as on many others, the notion of human evolution confronts and contradicts the plain statements of Scripture. In all the animal kingdoms, there could not be found a helper like him. He alone, of all creatures, was really alone, and that was not good. Before God could declare his creation finished and very good, this all-important deficiency must be eliminated. God would provide such a helper and companion for Adam, one like him and yet different, lamenting him and completing God's work. And that's what we're finishing up today and reading on page 98. So God bless you. If you'd like to get in touch with us, please do so at wsm217@gmail.com. And again, God bless you. See you here, there, or in the air.